Srila Prabhupada ki jai, 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 all glories to the Assembly of Devotees, all glories to the Assembly of Devotees, all glories to the Assembly of Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Ariste nite daitye krishnenam muta karmana kamsayatta bhagavan narado deva darshanaha. Translation. After Aristasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts so wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. Reports. The term Devadarshana can be understood in many ways, all of which are consistent with the context and purport of this narration. Deva means God and Darshana means seeing, or an audience with a great personality. Thus Devadarshana, a name for Narada Muni, indicates that Narada has attained the perfection of seeing God. But getting Narada's audience is as good as getting God's, since Narada is a pure representative of the Lord. And also that Narada's audience is as good as that of the demigods, who are also known as devas. That there are all these meanings of the term Devadarshana reveals something of the richness of the Srimad Bhagavatam's language. From the Puranas, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses describing a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna had killed Arista. This conversation, so kindly quoted by the Acharya, describes the origin of Radha Kunda Shamakunda. And then the verses are quoted as follows. Reading this verse because today is Krishnastami, also known as Bahulastami, Radha Kundastami. And there's a great relief to have the schedule change from having to give class on Halloween, which was previously scheduled, and I wasn't really looking forward to that, to today. But we should understand something about Halloween. Because the original word was Hallowed Eve. And it's actually significant to understand, worthy to understand how it came about. European theologians believe that The first traces of Vedic culture appeared in the British Isles amongst the Celtic people, whose priests were the Druids. And traditional Western theologians find that religion very strange, because these people believe that you might come back as a cat or some other animal. These people believe in reincarnation, which is fine, but in addition to that, you see the tantric influence, which they somehow brought from India, that on a certain day, Halloween, departed ancestors come back and visit their former family members, hometown, previous house. And you have to make an offering to them, because as the children chant today, trick or treat, it means if you don't offer a treat for the ghosts, they'll place some mischief on you. So it's basically, largely, worship of ghosts and spirits with a lot of witches roaming around. So the Roman Catholic Church was so appalled to find that this religion of the Celts in the British Isles and the practices of the Druids, which was their priests, were very degraded. And then this appeared in America, brought over largely by Irish immigrants. So the Catholic Church responded by making the next day All Saints Day, which they worshiped the saints for protection and to counteract the influences of the previous day's worship of ghosts. And because Halloween is the night before the worship of the saints, they called it Hallowed Eve, which became shortened into Halloween. What is the significance of this? Well, one thing is that the term Vaishnav, if you look in the dictionary, you know, I mean, there are dictionaries of theistic thought which categorize Vaishnavas as some kind of decadent worshippers with illicit relationships with the opposite gender. And as what they call worship of God. So you see where the Western theologians got their impression of Vaishnavism is from the decadent tantrics of the East. So from that you can get a little bit more understanding into the tremendous task that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur faced in clearing the good name, the sanctity, and the dignity of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition from the reputation it had assumed because of the malpractices of the Sahajas. So this all serves as a dark backdrop to highlight the glory of the mission of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which was the pioneer movement of Srila Prabhupada's mission of actually propagating Krishna consciousness in the West. And these acharyas have so painstakingly labored to give us the proper understanding of worship of Krishna before we delve into the 10th canto. So here in the 10th canto, Narada Muni is just ready to go tell Kamsa what's going on, because during Kamsa's reign of terror, he sent all these asuras to Braj to kill Krishna. And Krishna dispatched them all to the abode of death, never to return. So Kamsa received word that Krishna was wandering around in the pastures and meadows of Govardhan, so he sent Arista there. So who and what is Arista? Arista Shura, in the words of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is Aristotelian thought, the personification of Aristotelian thought, which cannot stretch to enter into Braj. So Arista Shura, lurking in the groves, waiting for Krishna, in a form so huge that clouds mistook his hump to be a mountain in the sky and were hovering around it. And when he roared and bellowed, all the matavis and cows and animals, the females in general, were having miscarriages. So terrifying. Now, Krishna was looking forward to having Rasa Lila because this is all happening about 11:45 tonight. And he was not pleased to have his aspiration disturbed by the appearance of Arista Shura. So to give him a hint that there would be no sin in killing a boy cow, even a bull, Krishna said, "Oh, most wicked one." And then he did what he would ordinarily do, to incite a chivalrous rasa. And then Krishna sure got enraged, just ready to attack. And then Krishna just so nonchalantly placed his arm on Subal's shoulder, very casually waited for the demon to attack. And then he dispatched him, as was performed, to the abode of death. And then Narada Muni went and told Kamsa that, yeah, it's like you have feared and assumed that the eighth child of Devaki who you tried to kill was actually the daughter of Yashoda. And Devaki's seventh and eighth child were just playing in Braj. Kamsa said, "How did they get there?" He said, "Vasudeva." And he drew his sword to go kill Vasudeva. But Narada Muni understood that it's time for Krishna's Braj Leela to close. So by inciting Kamsa to send a Krura, he would facilitate this shift of Krishna to Mantra. So next in the purport, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur quotes the conversation that followed the killing of Arista Shura. An innocent young gopi said to Krishna, "You cannot touch us or associate with us now, because you have incurred this heinous sin of killing a cow, a boy cow." Now remember, that's how Krishna first addressed Arista Shura. "You wicked demon, come here to scare the cows and the cowherd people." That was Krishna's way of saying, "There will be no sin in killing you." But the gopi said, "You just killed the cow, a boy cow." So you can't associate with us until you purify yourself by taking bath and hold all the holy rivers in all the universe. You have to undergo this kind of atonement, just like Indra did after he killed Vritashura, who was actually a Brahmana. And Krishna, he wasn't ready to leave Braj. He couldn't bear the thought of leaving for the time it would take to travel through the universe and bathe in the holy river. So he said, "I'll just bring them here. Just watch." And then he imprinted his heel into the earth and he called the rivers, the holy rivers. And they appeared before him. And Krishna said to the gopis, "Do you see all the holy rivers before me?" And they said, "No, we don't see anything." So he told the holy rivers, well, please introduce yourselves. And then they joined their palms in supplication. One said, I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am Amara Divik. I am the Shona. I am the Sindhu. I am the Tamraparni. I am Pushkar. I am Saraswati. We are Godavari, Jamuna, and Reva. And the confluence of Prayag, the sea. Krishna had them fill the imprint of his foot, which made a small impoundment, pond. He took his bath in the waters of all the holy rivers, and after that he became more arrogant than before. And he said, now I'm purified, but you gopis must never have executed any religious duty on this earth for the pleasure of Lord Brahma. Therefore, you can't associate with me. But he offered, you can bathe in my pond. He said, no. Your pond is contaminated by your sin of killing a boy cow. So she said, we're going to make our own. She broke her bangles, as all of her friends did. And in no time, they excavated a huge impoundment. And Krishna was impressed. He said, where's the water? You can take water from my pond. No, 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 no. That water is contaminated. We'll bring our own in millions of buckets from Manasa Ganga. And they formed a line to bring them. But Krishna, not bearing to even see so much as one drop of perspiration on the face of his beloved, he told the holy rivers to appeal to her. And he gestured to one celestial personality who was like the spokesperson for all the holy rivers. And he rose out of Shamakund and bowed down before the daughter of Sri Vrishabhanu. And with folded hands and tears falling from his eyes, he began praying to her in great devotion. O goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories. What to speak of Lord Shiva or even Lakshmi? Only Sri Krishna, the supreme goal of all human perfection, can understand your glories to some extent, and thus he feels obliged to personally wash away the perspiration from your face when you feel fatigued. And he said, we have come to serve Krishna by filling his pond with our waters. But the fruit on the tree of our desire can only be fulfilled if you award us shelter in your pond. Glancing at her beloved from the corner of her eyes and seeing that Krishna approved, she said, okay. And the holy waters burst through the dike of Shamakund and filled Radhakund. And then Lord Krishna said to her, may this pond of yours become even more world-renowned than mine, and I will always come here to enjoy pastimes. Indeed, this lake is as dear to me as you are. Om Jnanatira Mandasya Gnajana Shalakaya Chakshajan Manitanyena Tasman Shri Guru Namaha. What does the appearance of Radhakund have to do with 24-hour kirtan? It has everything to do with it. We have come together in the month of Damodar, whose presiding deity is Kartik Devi. Hence, This month is fondly known by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas as the month of Kartik, or the month of Radha Damodar, favorite time of devotees. When the aspiration for Radha Dasyam is most opportune. And we hear in the Damodarastikam prayers, Satyavrata Muni giving a biography of his long endeavor in various stages of realization, in which he finally offers his obeisances to the rope which bound Damodar. And then he offers his obeisances to Srimati Radharani, who binds him more effectively than that rope. Now, generally we think of the rope in terms of Mother Yashoda, who bound Damodar. But that rope, although it could not be untied by the gopas, was easily untied by Nanda Maharaj. But the Vishya Purana tells us that, furthermore, one night Krishna was late for an important date, Srimati Radhika, and she was mad that he was late. So with loving anger, she tied him with a golden vine. And he was bound. And then he pleaded, but I'm late because Mother Yashoda kept me home to observe some very important ceremony. And then she accepted his alibi and released him. So as it is, the service of Srimati, which constitutes the highest aspiration, the most intimate ideal of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas, following the instructions of Hari Bhakti Vilas, which says that Damodar is pleased when we worship the deity of Srimati during her month, especially for her pleasure. But who is qualified to do so? And how is that possible? At the midnight hour, when the doors are locked, because Radha and Krishna are enjoying intimate pastimes, who is qualified to worship them? So like the holium, which is non-different from Krishna, philosophically speaking, but seen through the perspective of mercy, the holy name is more exalted than Krishna, because, as Mahaprabhu says, it is readily and easily available. Problem is, with anything that's readily and easily available, the conditioned soul has a tendency to take it for granted. And foreseeing that problem amongst sadhakas, Mahaprabhu, calling out to Lord Krishna in tearful voice, Etadrshitava kripa bhagavan mamapi durdayavam idrisham ihaji nanaragava. Krishna, you're so merciful that you've endowed all your divine potencies in the sound of your holy name, but I am so unfortunate, I have no attachment for it. And therefore, Lord Gauranga has performed such marvelous pastimes, which he did not need to do for his own sake. He came for other purposes, to relish, to experience for himself the love of Srimati. He did not come to establish the Yuga Dharma. But when the Lord comes in his original form, he takes upon his shoulders that task of establishing the Yuga Dharma. And he does so in such a way as to establish the efficacy and glories of the holy name to such an extent that we should not ever take such a treasure for granted. and thus become, according to his own definition, unfortunate. Because the qualifications to worship Krishna are exceedingly high in terms of purity, in time, in place, in circumstance. Whereas the qualification for worshiping the holy name is simply the humble utterance of those syllables, but not thinking that we are producing the syllables of our own accord. The holy name is self-manifest. So like the holy name of Krishna, which is non-different from Krishna, but more exalted in terms of mercy, Radha-kund, as we hear in this conversation between Radha and Krishna, is non-different from Radha. It is her liquid prema. Or, in the spiritual world, the tears from her eyes in her separation from Krishna. Ashamakund is created by the tears of Lord Krishna in separation from Radha. It is the liquid form of prema, easily accessible at all times, for all persons, under any circumstances. And that Radha-kund appears today, Krishnastami, at midnight. And with the appearance of Radha-kund, the gopis were glorifying that as Parvati Devi appeared to the Himalayas, this Radha-kund has appeared from Govardhan. And seeing the appearance of Radha-kund, all moving and non-moving residents of Braj became highly enlivened. And after Krishna said that your kund is as dear to me as you are, she said, I will also bathe in your kund. And anyone who ever develops intense devotion to my kund, or resides there, or bathes there, or serves there, or worships there, will become very dear to me. And the appearance of the two kunds, Shamakund and Radha-kund, and the conversations, and then the Rasa-lila, which ensued on the banks of Radha-kund, evoked a swirling flow of rasa. So then, Narada, when the whole comes to send a crew to end Raj Lila. So this month of Kartik is also the month that Krishna returned to Braj from Mathura with Uddhava. And every night during the clear Kartik sky, he had Rasa-lila. It's also the month that Mahaprabhu went to Braj. And while he was there, and the Sanodhya Brahmana was, you know, taking to the holy places he was aware of, when Mahaprabhu heard the word Aritagram, he knew that's where Arista was killed. So he was asking, where's Shamakund and Radha-kund? Nobody knew. At that time, the whole place was overgrown except for two small fields which had little rice paddies in the center of them called Gauri-kund and Kali-kund. Mahaprabhu sat down beneath the kadamba tree and in spiritual vision he saw this was his beloved Radha-kund and Shamakund. So he ran and took bath and offered prayers and decorated himself with a tilak from the bank. And the Brijabasis were watching. This sannyasi is not of this world. And his friend said, He's not a sannyasi at all. He's Krishna, who's again returned to Brajvakarti. Just see how all of Vrindavan has just been restored to life. From a wasteland to paradise. Just see, the parrots and the other birds are all chanting holy names of Krishna. The peacocks are dancing for his pleasure. The cows are running from all directions to welcome him home. The flowers are bursting into bloom, and the trees are shedding tears of liquid honey. And then they began praying to Lord Garanga, our obeisances unto you, who has revealed the identity of these two ponds. And with this pastime ensued the progressive events of identifying, revealing, excavating, and renovating all the holy places of Braj. Because Mahaprabhu then went to Allahabad, instructed Rupa Goswami, go to Braj, write books, establish deity worship, excavate the holy places. He went to Varanasi, Sanatana Goswami, said, go there, join Rupa Goswami. And then later, after Raghunath Das Goswami had left his home, joined Mahaprabhu, observing his pastimes in Puri, this feeling of Radha Dasyam was gaining strength within his heart. But then Mahaprabhu left this world. He took shelter of Gadadhar Pandit. But how long could Gadadhar stay without Mahaprabhu? The fire of separation was burning so fiercely in his heart that he could not bear and just chanting the Lord's name of Gauranga, he entered back into the Aprakata Lila. Raghunath Das, first it was Mahaprabhu, then Sri Damodar, then Gadadhar Pandit. Then he was thinking, where can I take shelter? He went to Braj to commit suicide by jumping from Govardhan Hill, which at the time was much higher. There he met Rupan Sanatan, who greeted him with such affection that his resolve to end his life was somewhat adjusted. And they gave him his mission, that you have heard and seen the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu, which the Brijabasis don't know. You cannot leave us bereft of this good fortune, but you must narrate the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. This has restored his life. For hours a day, reciting the pastimes of Lord Gauranga, the Amrit, which conquers over death and gives life to the soul. But then Sanatana Goswami disappeared. Shortly thereafter, Rupa Goswami disappeared. And Raghunath Das Goswami, in great lamentation, because these great souls, and even the great souls in our midst, are the form in which Krishna reciprocates in our lives. And when they disappear, the lamentation we feel is indicative of lamentation due to separation from Krishna. Because he manifests through his devotees. So after Rupa Goswami had left, before that, they made him they awarded him the service, caretaker, custodian of Radha Kund, because they were thinking Mahaprabhu gave him his Govardhan Shila and Gunjamala, indicating that he wanted him to live near Govardhan and worship Radha Kund. But after all these great souls had disappeared, the culmination of his prayers and pleading to Krishna for mercy was his final verses, in which poets indicate their deepest aspiration. O Srimati, I am yours and yours only. He wanted her to hear him say it twice. He said, all these personalities I've clung to, beginning with Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar, Gadadhar Pandit, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they're all leaving me. Like columns to whom I cling, they're just all leaving. And people tell me to take shelter of Krishna, but who is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And what does that mean to me without your mercy? So if a drop of mercy could fall upon me at this time, that could sustain my life. I have no shelter other than your Radha Kund. And he spent the rest of his years, 41 years there, during which time Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami came along and heard him narrating Chaitanya Leela, from which ensued the ultimate treatise of theologic perfection, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in Sanskrit, sara means the essence, the most relishable aspect of the subject. If you reverse sara, you get rasa. It is the taste of love, the transformation of rasa. Sara. And Sara also means lake, Kund. So that Madhurya Prem in liquid form, tangible form, accessible form, is Radha Kund. Appearing on the eighth day of Kartik, Krishnastami, preceded the preceding month by Radha's, following the month in which Janmashtami occurs. And Radha's and Radha Kund also appeared at midnight, as did Lord Krishna. But something very practical to contemplate is that just as when the Lord appears and the devotees bathe him in Panchamrita, the five nectars representing our faith, surrender, remembrance, prayers, and bhakti, this is what we're pouring out upon the lotus feet of the Lord on the day of his birth. But on Krishnastami, Radha and Krishna reciprocate by offering the nectar of their prema, which are contained in their ponds, Radha Kund and Shyam Kund, for the shelter of the devotees. So in 1941, when the pumps were running continuously to drain the Shyam Kund and Radha Kund for cleaning and renovation work, in the bottom of Radha Kund was a circular wall indicating that Kanchana Kund, the original Kund, personally, lovingly excavated by the hands of Srimati herself. And then when they pumped Shyama Kund down, they saw in the depths the walls of Braja, or Vajra Kund, which some say was named after Vajrana, Krishna's great grandson who first revealed the holy places 5,000 years ago. Others say that Indra sent his thunderbolt, because actually Krishna didn't kill Arvistashura. He was, you know, wringing them out like a wet rag, but you know, it's really below Krishna's dignity to have to kill demons. So feeling that sentiment, Yamaraj appeared, killed Arista. But because he died in the presence of Krishna, he was given the same kind of liberation. But Vajra, the Vajra of Indra, helped in the excavation process. Therefore, it's the original walled impoundment in the depths of Shamakunda is called Vajrakund. And then when they pumped the water down in Shamakunda, you know, no more springs were, it stayed dry. When they pumped it down in Radhakund, the springs kept pouring forth water. Why? Because the holy rivers and oceans entered Shamakun just long enough to serve him, but they took their eternal shelter and residence in Radhakun, so the pumps had to keep going during the renovation process. But there was one spring that was emitting white liquid. It looked like milk. And one Brijabasi took it home in a pot and it turned into yogurt, because that was the water of the milk ocean. Good. What is the practical significance in our daily sadhana of the mercy of Srimati? Because where is Krishna complete? He's only complete when he's accompanied by her. And therefore Rupa Goswami in his song explains that Damodara Rati Radhana Veshe Hari Niskuta Vrinda Bhagavesha Damodara Rati. Damodar is Krishna. He's the Lord. He's Atmaram and Aptakam. He has no desire to be fulfilled, which means what is our hope of pleasing him? But when he sees Radha, he becomes immersed in endless waves of desire and longing and opportunities to please and serve him. And she increases the rati, the attachment in our hearts for Damodara. Vrishabhanu Dadi, Vrishabhanu Nandini is a name dear to the Gaudiyas. As we relish more Jashoda Nandana than Nanda Nandana, because Jashoda, even Nanda Maharaj admitted that Jashoda has more love for Krishna than he does. You know, Krishna, he'd run to Mother Jashoda and sometimes she would chastise him, and he would run to Nanda Maharaj crying, trembling and tears fall. Nanda would say, what? Somebody chat, she chat. And Krishna would point to him, she chat, don't go to her. And then what would Krishna do? He'd run right back to Mother Jashoda with open arms and jump in her lap. With Srimati, she didn't go first to her mother. She didn't appear first to her mother. She appeared first to her father. She would go first to him, and then to get to his lap, and then back to him. And therefore, Vrishabhanu Nandini is the name which is full of the sweetness and balm. And with the objective of pleasing her and following her lotus footsteps, we worship her on this month. And that constitutes the highest form of worship. So, it was on the banks of Radhakund where Srila Prabhupada had one of his last darshans with his own Gurudev, who was a little disturbed at that time. And he told Srila Prabhupada, there will be fire. And Srila Prabhupada, he was kind of out of touch with the mat, but he knew that there was some quarreling, some bickering, some competition going on. And he saw how it was troubling his guru. Because of opening that grand temple with marble walls and marble floors. He said, it'd be better if you could strip the marble and sell it and print books. He told Srila Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books. And that is the form in which the mercy really overflowed and inundated the whole world. Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, Srila Prabhupada wanted the 17 volumes printed in 2 months. So every week or two, another volume was arriving. And the devotees, they couldn't concentrate on their service at that time because we'd never seen anything like this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in Chaitanya Lila, in the essence, Shikshastakam prayers, Lord Chaitanya teaches us what is the quality, enabling us, empowering us with the sufficient taste that we can chant the holy name constantly. Kaviraj Goswami says, you should string this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it always around your neck. Never lose it. Trinadavi Sumichina, Tadavi Sahishina, Amani Dhamma, Kirtaneyasa. When people go to Radhakund to visit the bogus sahajiyas who get their Siddha Pranali mantra, which just causes disturbance in their own spiritual lives and in the public and society and everything, we all have our Siddha Pranali mantra. It is the third verse of Shikshastaka. And that Siddha Pranali mantra will teach you your eternal function and service of chanting the holy name, which you can only do properly and constantly when you're truly, genuinely humble. Because humility is the only quality in the Jiva soul that can attract the Lord Krishna to reciprocate all his beauty, sweetness, and charm in the sound of his holy name. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments?
Yes. Maharaj, thank you very much. The fifth ingredient, you're missing one ingredient of the Panchanga. You said faith, surrender, remembrance, bhakti.
Prayers.
Prayers.
Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I'd like to ask all the devotees to go outside in the yoga shop.